Boker Tov, world. Today's daf in Masechet Zivachim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ira Kodesh, is daf Gimel, and we're holding it to two dots of a two Rami Milta. So we went ahead quite a bit yesterday, but it was right smack bang in the middle of the Kiddush. Okay, now yesterday we found out that Rava actually had raised a lot of fascinating issues, and we don't know what all of them were. But remember, the Rav Papa was told, what a chaval, you never made it because you were out of the tchum. But we had all kinds of exciting things yesterday with Rava, and he asked various contradictions and the answer. And we only heard one of them. And that was the contradiction between the sugya in Gittin about Stam not being Lishma and the get needing to be actively written for the kavana of the particular woman, Rashain Kane, by the dinim of Zivachim, as we managed to prove yesterday from the Mishnah later on, the idea is that Stam is Lishma. So he asked, why is it that over here Stam is Lishma? And by Gittin, we don't say Stam is Lishma. But there were other things that he had also asked, and we continue on with those other things today. So two, furthermore, Rami Milta Achriti, there were other exciting issues that he had raised, Rava. And he pointed out that there are contradictions. Rami means specifically contradictions. Rami means to throw one thing against another, literally. So, mi amar Rav Yehuda amar Rav. Is it really true what Rav was quoted as saying, which was an amazing halacha, that a chatas sheshachata l'shem ola is psula, but a shachata l'shem chulin is ksheira? Wow, that's like really a chiddush. So if you shech the chatas for the wrong korban, then indeed the Mishnah says that it's possible, for sure. But if you shechted it as an actual regular chulin animal, specifically, then it's kosher. How in the world does that work? But what you see from there is a very important yesod, namely, Alma, the mina macharivba, the lav mina lo macharivba. What you see is that there are sets in the Torah, and that something that's a member of the same set is going to have more of an influence on the din than something that's not a member of the set at all. So if it's the mina, if it's part of the same set, then it can actually interrupt one element of that set by running against it. But if it's lav mina, lo macharivba. If it's not part of the set at all, it's essentially irrelevant, and therefore the machshava will not make any nafkamina at all. Now, I mean, this is all very nice, but, I mean, certainly it seems to be a problem in the question of whether you need lishma. I mean, it's certainly not a machshava lishma, right? So it's all very nice, it's not makriv. But can you say that the hakrava was done lishma? I mean, before we were talking about stama is lishma. Can you actually say that this thing that was brought as a non-Kodesh animal, can you call that lishma? That's the issue. I mean, didn't we say that lishma is absolutely necessary? The only reason we said that if you do it stam is because that's considered to be lishma. But if you're doing it l'shem chulin, how is that considered to be lishma? Is this not disturbing to anybody, or is everybody just bored today? What's going on with you guys? Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
If in English we ram one thing against the other, that sounds like rami.
Yeah, well, maybe if you're working for a car company. But anyway,
Rabbi, it's likely similar to Toel and the Dvar Mishnah as an idea. It's like we don't relate to that at all.
I'm sorry?
I'm saying it's likely similar to Toel but Dvar Mishnah as an idea that somebody do that, does that, we don't relate to that. It's another area.
I understand, but it doesn't satisfy the requirement of Lishma. We're not questioning what the Gemara is saying. I don't need a Hesber for what Mina and Lav Mina is. I'm asking you, how does it satisfy Lishma? We never said that that shalom, if it's not lishma, that it's kosher. Oh, no. I'm asking about how this makes any sense. It doesn't seem to make any sense. And the truth is that putting this right up front, in the inyanim av ezvachim, raises some fundamental questions which actually accompany us throughout many of the sugyas, even though they're not in the open. And the questions that are raised, I mean, are very big in terms of the achronim. These are some extremely central descriptions of the achronish haTorah on Zvachim has to do with this issue. So there's the Briskerov's approach, together with many others, is that you see from here, it's a classic Brisk kind of idea, that you see from here that the pagam of shelo lishmo is not that you're not bringing it lishmo. The pagam of shelo lishmo is an actual psul machshava, the same way that we have other psule machshavas, like a machshavas pigo, and so on. We have a machshava shelo lishmo. A lack of lishmo is not considered to be an actual machshava that passes, and therefore this is irrelevant. Now, there's many kashas on that approach, and there are completely different approaches to the Gemara, which is that we still retain, for instance, I shouldn't say which is, but the main simple approach would be that we retain our concept of stam zvachim being lishma, unless there's something that ruins that. And that, as Daniel just pointed out, it has to be part of the set in order to be relevant. If it's not relevant, then it's not viewed as an alternative machshava at all. It would be like saying, I am bringing this carbon in order to be a brand new red Tesla. I mean, okay, thank you very much. I mean, we might lock you up, but it certainly has nothing to do with the machshavas of the actual dinim of the carbon. So when you say, I'm bringing it l'chulin, you're not interfering in any way with the stoma lishma, which still remains. The zevach was meant to be that zevach, as Rav himself said yesterday, and therefore it remains innately a carbon of the type that it was. I'm just raising this for you so that the issues should be a little bit on the surface as we go. The main problems with this approach is that the Gemara elsewhere attempts to utilize the issues that have to do with shelo lishma legabe zvachim to bring rayas in terms of things like tzitzit. Is it considered to be doing it for to be making it for tzitzit or and that type of thing, which according to the Brisker Rav is completely irrelevant, since what we're talking about over here is a special pagam machshava that is a specific din in kachim. Okay, anyway, getting back to the yisod. The yisod of the halacha over here is that according to what it appears that Rav is saying now, is that there is a concept of a set, and anything outside of a set doesn't in any way set up an interference pattern with something in the set. It's very simple. The problem is that we seem again, when it comes to the Inyanim of Gittin, we seem again to have a problem. And what is that? Vramini. So Rava pointed out that when it comes to a get, it says, Kol haget shenichtav shelo l'shem isha pasul. Now that means that if a get is written not for the sake of this woman, but for anybody else, which would include an Ovedet Kochavim, right? So let's say you write a get to a non-Jewish, for a non-Jewish woman. Now that's not a get. That's the same thing as bringing your carbon for chulin. And yet over there, it says it's possible despite the fact that this Ovedet Kochavim is irrelevant to the dinim of Gittin. And the obvious difference is, as Rava pointed out immediately, the get let us actually, dal avodat kochavim. Now let's ignore the question of whether the ovedet kochavim was involved or not. So take her out of the equation. What's left? What's left is stoma. All right, there's no kavana at all. The problem is that stoma is puzzle when it comes to gittin. Mashenkin, when it comes to kachim, if we take the red Tesla out of the picture, or we take the chulin out of the picture, you're left with stoma as well. But stoma by kachim is kosher. So he's zeroing in for us on the differences between a situation of stam, and which is lishma, and a situation where the stoma is not lishma. There was another thing that Rava pointed out also. V'rama milta achrite. Mi omar Rav Yonamar Rav, v'chata sheshachat al Hashem ola pesula, shachat al Hashem chulin kishera, which would imply that Alma de mina makriv ba, de lo mina lo makriv ba. Is it really true that the dinim of the Torah are worked only from within particular sets, and therefore if there's a din of one thing setting up an interference pattern with another thing, you can obviously only set up interference patterns if you have something that is on the same wavelength, as we would put it, right? But literally, so you cannot start saying that something that comes from outside of the set is going to have any kind of impact on what goes on within the set. Now let's talk about a physical set. And a physical set should be exactly the same as this type of completely theoretical conceptual set. And therefore, we have the following question. When it comes to the dinim of Tuma Vatira, let me ask you something. V'atanya. Now, gentlemen, this is a bit of a complex sugya. It's something that we've dealt with and we've talked about in the past, but it's very important to get the dinim straight in your head or you're going to be hopelessly confused. And it's really very straightforward. It's just that there's a lot of detail. So let's just remember some of the basic facts. When it comes to Tumas Kalim, we have two very different types of Kalim. We have what's called Klei Shetef. Klei Shetef means washable kelim, which doesn't have anything to do about whether it's dishwasher safe. It has to do with the question of whether a kli can get tohar by putting it into a mikveh. Now, all of the things that are mentioned in Klei Midyan, all of those types of kelim that are metallic and can be washed off in a mikveh are mekabel tuma as a kli from the outside of the kli or from the inside of the kli, but by touching the kli. They are not impacted by the space of the inside of the kli. There's no such concept by a kli shetef of an internal space which contains a different place. When it comes to a kli cheres, which is the other set of kelim, the opposite is true. A kli cheres cannot become tame by touching it on its outside. It can only become tame by contact with its airspace, which of course doesn't literally mean airspace. It means its space. If it's out in space and there's no air, it's exactly the same halacha. It's the internalized space of the kli, which we term air because on this planet it's always filled with air, so it's called avir. The avir of kli cheres, but what it really means is the space of the kli cheres, as we'll see. It has nothing to do with the air. And in fact, we're going to have a case in the Gemara where you're protected from the air by a spacesuit and you would still be inside of the kli. Would the space of the kli be metame? We're going to have that case later on, which we'll get to later. But it becomes very clear in the Gemara there that the din is a din in space. All right, so if that's the halacha, then we need to understand more clearly what is meant in the Torah in the sugya of a sheretz that falls into a kli. Now listen very carefully to this pasuk, and better yet, you could even turn to the pasuk in Vayikra, in the Goyesha Yud Aleph Lamed Gimel, and what it says over there is, V'chol kli cheres. Any type of kli cheres, asher yipol mehem, that one of these eight shrutzim, that is metami when it's dead, falls into, specifically el tocho, to its internal space, then kol asher bitocho, anything in that internal space, will become tame, yitma, and the kli itself must be broken, if you want to use it anything for kachim, if it's talking about over there, also specifically breaking it, if it was used in the Beis HaMikdash, it can only be broken. You cannot be metairet by putting it in a mikveh. Now this extremely information-rich pasuk, as I'm going to show you some of the elements of the richness of its information, is actually the basis of many, many different halachas. So the obvious halacha, the open halacha, is that a kli cheres will be metame tocho. What exactly does that mean when it says tocho? Let's imagine a case where and the inside of that kli is another kli, and that kli extends above the mouth of the outside kli. So you can imagine a tall type of maybe flower pot that sticks up above a large kli cheres. Something is in the flower pot, and that flower pot is in the kli cheres. Is that inside of the outside kli to be tamei in the event that a sheretz falls into the outside? No, it's not, because of the stress of the vav. It has to be tocho and not tocho. So it can't be inside of a space which is inside of that space. It can only be inside of the primary space. Now, because of the fact that it says over there as well, and includes a very important halacha, which is the kol asher betocho that is restricted to mikol ha'ochel asher yachel u'mikol hamashke asher yishateh, we learn that the inside of the kli cheres is considered to be metame only things inside of it that are ochlin u'mashkin. Okay, now, let me ask you a question. How do we understand the nature of the tuma of the internal space of that kli? Is it as if when the sheretz fell into that kli, was it actually filling up the entire space of the kli with tumat sheretz? Or is being inside the kli a modality of direct transfer of tumat sheretz to the kli? Asking you that question. Beep, 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 beep. Nu, who's responding here?
First option, right?
You're saying the first option. It fills the space with the Tumas Sheretz.
Thanks.
And...
must have made the cleats on it.
How does that answer the question?
The option two. Cleat is now tummy, and
now the cleats. Why is that option two? The cleat could also be tummy. Why would it mean that? The kli would become tummy and the space would become tummy. The entire place becomes filled with sheretz.
It's not
the sheretz
radiating into the space. It's the
sheretz. How do you know? I'm asking you. You're telling me that's the din. Thank you very much. If you were Moshe Misinai, I would listen and say, Baruch Hashem, I now know. Unfortunately, we don't have the privilege of having Moshe with us. Yeah, I know he's your uncle. I know. Not everybody has an uncle that can actually say directly, I am a real nephew of Moshe Rabbeinu, but it's great to be a Kohen. But anyway, getting back to the question, the answer to the question is quite forward. If the entire toch of the kli would be filled with tuma, then why would only food and drink become tummy? Why wouldn't a can opener become tummy? Because in order to be metame a kli, if a sheretz comes into contact with a kli, it's going to be metame at a kli shetef, right? And here the only thing that is makabel tuma is erchlin umashkin. So obviously the entire space of the kli is not filled with sheretz, which means that the way that this worked was that the sheretz was metame the kli, and the kli radiates tuma into its airspace, so that whatever is in the airspace is going to be tame from not an ava tuma, but from a kli which is a rishon l'tuma. A rishon l'tuma cannot be metame kelim, correct? Okay, now when I turn around to you and I say, if the kli that was inside of this kli, so as I said, you've got a large flower pot, and that flower pot sticks up above the space of the outside kli. something inside that flower pot will not be affected by a sheretz outside. What if the flower pot was made out of metal? Would the inside of the inner flower pot be able to be metame the ochlin umashkin inside of it?
After the sheretz has been removed, everything inside is metame, but then it'll be projected, so what?
The sheretz is not removed. The sheretz is not removed. The sheretz is... Only if the sheretz touched it. Ah, okay. So now what's the din of the stuff inside of the metal kli?
What? Because the tea is not metame.
And the airspace is not metame either because it's toch tocho. Now that means that even a kli shetef would create a different space inside of a kli cheres that would be matzil what's inside of it. Okay? All right, so that's the simple meaning of the pasuk. And we'll see, there's many more diyukim to be made, but let's start with that. Because once we know that, we could understand the following braita. So tocho means lo toch tocho, and that teaches us that afilu kli shetef matzil, as Alon has just taught us, even a metal kli inside of a kli that's filled with a sheretz is still a different space inside that metal kli, and it will save the food inside of it from any kind of tumah. See, even though these are two different sets, you might think, but they're both part of the set called kelim. So that's not a violation of sets. Maybe that's what you could say. Well, we'll see if that's the answer. But the problem over here is that it raises the issue of the different set of kelim called kli shetef versus kli cheres. If it's true what Rav says, that only members of the same set can set up interference with the other members of the set, how is it that the space of a metal kli can set up interference with the external space of the kli cheres? That was the kasha that Rava was rummy. And Rava answered that you've got to get a little bit more subtle in your description of what the distinctions are between sets. Okay, so there are primary and secondary sets, and the primary set may actually interfere with a secondary set, and vice versa. But two different primary sets will not interfere. And therefore, here would be the way I would put it in terms of the physical constructs that we're talking about. Let's imagine a case where you have a kli cheres, which is a big kli cheres. It's a tanur. You'll remember how the tanur was made. It was an extremely large, for a kli, an extremely large earthenware container that was had a little opening on its on one side, and a large opening, meaning no bottom at all. The bottom was cemented to the ground. The top was a small opening through which you could put your pitot and stick them to the side of the oven. The inside of the oven was where you put the fire. And that was the way that the normal stoves were made then. Ovens, I should say, not stoves. Now, suppose you went ahead and you built a wall in the inside of the oven. And that wall was so tall that it extended above the opening of the oven. You now have a sheretz in one side of the oven, and you have food on the other side of the wall in the oven. Is the food tame or not? That's the question. And what Rava said was, look, primary sets like chulin set A versus kutcher set B is the equivalent of attempting to set up interference with a wall inside of an oven. A wall is a function of buildings and not of kalim. And therefore, walls don't matter to kalim. Only kalim matter to kalim. So the same way to try to make a interference between chulin and kachim is like trying to make interference by building a wall inside of an oven. just like a mechitza inside of an oven, has no impact at all, and it does not actually prevent the tuma from coming from one side of the oven to the other side of the oven. Af chulin etzo kodashim lo mahanya leklal. The din is that chulin is a completely primary different set, and therefore it cannot interfere in any way with the set of kutcher. And that is why I'll tell you what I base it on, says Rava. I base it on the Mishnah that we all learned together in Masechet Kelim. What does it say there? Tanur shechatzatzo b'nesarim o b'yiriyot. Let's say that you have an oven, and you built a mechitza out of boards or out of curtains inside of the oven. Now there's a sheretz on one side, and there's food on the other side. If nimtza sheretz b'mokom echad, everything in that oven on both sides of this wooden partition or yiriot curtain partition, the whole thing is tamei, and they have no impact. And this is true even if the partition goes all the way up and sticks out through the top. Who's sending pictures? Somebody's looking at something. Okay. Anyway, apparently someone sent a picture. So everything is...
The picture that's on already.
Okay. Everything is tummy. Thank you. I don't know how to get it, whatever, but I'm fine. A kaveret shehi pechuta. Now, if you have a kaveret, literally means a hive, right? It's a beehive. But a kaveret was the word that was used also for the type of containers that were often used for beehives. And they have a shape of a hive, a shape of a kaveret, so that bees feel comfortable setting up shop there. They would often make these basket weaves for bee raising. But they would use the same type of shape basket for other purposes as well. So remember, a kaveret which is pechuta, you've got a busted up kaveret. It's full of holes. You took little bits of straw and you stuck them into the holes so that at least it's closed off, but it's not really considered to be a kli. And what happens is over here, is that you hang that into the space of an oven with a string hanging it from the top. What does that do in terms of setting up a separate container? Well, if there's a sheretz inside the kaveret, then the entire oven is tummy, because that kaveret cannot in any way prevent the space from being affected by it, because it's not a cleat. And if the sheretz is in the tanur, and there's food in the kaveret, the foods also are tamei. It's only according to Rebbe Eliezer that we have a din, that it is considered to be a separate space, and he argues on the Mishnah. Okay, this is the way that Rashi understands it. We're going to take the simple explanation. According to Rashi, Tosef brings many rayas that Rashi's approach is wrong, but it's the simplest, straightforward approach in the Gemara. So therefore, what is Rav showing us? He's showing us that, according to the Rabbanan at least, we have two completely different sets of issues, kelim or buildings. Whatever works to interfere with one can set up an interference with the same members of a set, but it cannot work by trying to use something that is valid in one set to set up some interference in the other set. Continuing meanwhile with the Braita, before we get to discuss it, Omar Rebbe Eliezer, Kal v'chomer. I'll tell you why I believe that the food is tahor inside of the kaveret, because look, you can build a wall in a living room and have a dead body on one side of the wall and have food on the other side of the wall, correct? Now, the dead body is not going to in any way impact the other side of the wall because it's not in the same Ohel HaMeit. So, I mean, if that wall, for that matter, those curtains in certain cases, would be matzil by meit, which is much more chomer than the sheretz that we're talking about, should it not be matzil in a much lesser tumah of the tumah sheretz and kli cheres, akal? And the Chachamim said, of course not. Imitzil b'meit chamur, the reason that the wooden wall prevents the tumah from going through the wall is not because of the power of the wall. It's because of the fact that you're dealing with an ohel. An ohel is a building, is a tent that's not defined by kelim. So there, something that's part of the building creates a separate building space. Does that mean that we should apply that same concept to a kli cheres, despite the fact that it's actually kal and it's more lenient? But ein chokim b'kli cheres. That's not the way that you utilize kelim, by building walls in them. And therefore, it's an irrelevant point that you're making over here. So getting back to Rav. So Rav says, look, you see that a fundamental difference in this set, if it's a primary set difference, you can't ask from one on the other, and it has no relevance whatsoever in setting up any type of interference with that other set, correct? That's what I'm saying. If you're talking about a same primary set, kelim, that's the primary set. What are the secondary sets? Kli shetef, kli cheres. There you can set up interference from a member of the same primary set. But when you've got a separate primary set, such as the case that I'm bringing you, of a physical construct, this is a physical construct that has exactly the same ideas as the mental construct. A set is a set is a set. This is a brilliant Gemara. And again, it's like some of the basic ideas that the sugya starts us off with, which is so, it's just so beautiful to see. Now, because of that, I believe that we have exactly the same situation over here, and a chatas is unaffected by any interference from chulin. Chulin and kachim are different primary sets. The Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayos actually raises the issue of how we could have mesechet chulin in Seder Kachim if it's a member of a primary different set. So then the mesechet should not be here in Kachim. So this has broader implications. Okay, all to be explored as we go along. Come on, guys, tell me this isn't fun.
This sugya is in chulin. It's the in chulin. It's the seeds.
Same. Yeah, we deal with the details of the sugya is actually in chulin. So says the Gemara, but wait, Rav actually succeeded in proving his point about the difference between primary and secondary sets, but only according to the Rabbana. Rabbi Eliezer apparently doesn't buy in, because Rabbi Eliezer said that I could bring a raya from the din of a mechitza by an ohel hamez, and use it as a kal vachomer to a different set, which is the din of kelim. So what would Rav, according to Rav Eliezer, what would Rav have to say? Well, I mean, Rav Eliezer built it on a kal vachomer. I mean, maybe in principle, he accepts the din that different sets cannot set up interference with one another. Maybe he agrees with the basic idea, but he's just saying that the greater chumrah of tumas hameis should overcome that barrier. I beg your pardon, says the Gemara. If the greater chumrah overcomes the barrier of interference between non-sets, then you'd have the same problem with kachim and chulin. I would, yeah, because it's a kal vachomer. Forget about the difference of the set, okay? Forget about the difference. Let's talk about the chumrah of the set, because that's what Rabbi Eliezer is doing. So I understand your point, different sets, but how about a more chumrah set? Now, are we agreed that kachim is much less of a chumrah when it comes to disturbing the dinim of kachim than chulin is? So, I mean, if kachim can still be mechalo kachim, which I'll show you, then chulin certainly should be mechalo kachim. Because, I mean, the idea of the profanity element, the chumrah of the profanity element, the profane, which is the meaning of chulin, essentially. Chulin means empty. It's a halal. So it's empty, and thereby, by definition, profane. It's not dedicated to anything. and therefore it's more chomer in that sense. So why don't I say I can make a kal v'chomer that if chulin, let's say a machshava for an oila, is going to be enough to be mechalal a chatas, then chulin, which is more profane, is certainly going to be able to be mechalal it. I mean, if you take that as an issue, so then you're going to break down the whole argument of Rav. Okay. I'll tell you therefore. Now, let me change the issue of Rav a little bit. And actually, the basis of Rav here may well be a pasuk in which the Torah teaches us that kachim and only kachim are mechalal kachim. And it's not necessarily a din in sets. So taima de Rav would be aliba de Rebbe Elazar. Rebbe Elazar, by the way, please note, not Rebbe Eliezer. We're asking what would Rav do for Rabbi Eliezer? And we're saying he would tell us the same thing that Rebbe Elazar, who is not even a Tana, right? He's talking about a diuk from Rebbe Elazar, the Amora, who said, Omar, Rabbi Elazar, you know what Rav's underlying reasoning is here? That since the pasuk says, now, albeit this pasuk, is a pasuk that is mentioned in the context of truma, and not mamish kodesh in the Beis HaMikdash, but nonetheless, the concept is the same. It says in the pasuk, v'lo yechalalu et kachei b'nei Yisrael asher yarimu l'Hashem. Now look, you could easily have said, lo yechalalu es asher yarimu l'Hashem. Asher Yarimu L'Hashem is those things that Bnei Yisrael uplifted to give a Kedusha. That's what Truma means, Asher Yarimu. So why do you have to say Kotche Bnei Yisrael Asher Yarimu L'Hashem? Ah, that is to tell me that it's the Kotche Bnei Yisrael that are going to be affected by that which is Asher Yarimu L'Hashem, and only Kotchim could be Mechalo Kotchim. But not chulin. Chulin cannot be mechalo kachim, and therefore the Torah went out of its way to actually create a completely different set. And this is very important to notice, that the idea of the conceptual sets that Rav said are still true. We're not abandoning that. We're simply saying that since the Torah has set up the idea as being irrelevant to the degree of profanity or kodesh, therefore, I cannot make the argument when it comes to kachim, I cannot make the argument that Rabbi Eliezer would have made in terms of the sets of buildings or kalim, you see? But we have not abandoned at all the basic idea of sets that Rav has set out. We're just saying you cannot apply a kal v'chomer to it because the Torah says it's not a kal v'chomer. Profanity is not impactful on Kedusha. Only other Kedusha is impactful. Okay? I'm not going to argue with that. It's a pasuk. But wait a minute. Okay, it's a pasuk. I understand. So you're telling me that once the pasuk actually defines what it is that the set can do, we ignore the kal v'chomer, right? So can't we do the same thing over here? I mean, according to Rebbe Eliezer, Rebbe Eliezer made a kal v'chomer. The Torah made sets. So if the Torah made sets, then the kal v'chomer is irrelevant. Didn't you just say that even though there are two sets, right? The profane and the holy, and you thought you could avoid the set problem by talking about a kal v'chomer, because of the fact that the Torah insists on the difference of this, despite the fact that it's a greater chumrah, the same thing is true in Rabbi Eliezer's case. It says tocho, and tocho means tocho, damn it, what are you arguing about? Start telling me I'll create a kal v'chomer to make a tocho out of a wall. I mean, what does that have to do with the price of eggs in China? We're talking about over here, the Torah went out of its way to tell me tocho v'lo toch tocho. So isn't that enough to cancel out Rebbe Eliezer's idea? Because otherwise, what do I need that tocho for? If it says tocho, can't I figure out what space is? I need a special pasuk to tell me, but not the space inside that space. Well, I mean, if the inside space itself was defined as a separate space, so then it would be a given to an intelligent being that a space inside that space is furthermore defined as a different space. Why do I need the vav to tell me this different space? The only reason I need the vav, we should yell at Reb Eliezer, is to make absolutely sure that people like you don't go around making kal vachomers to undo the differences of the sets. What else is it for? Ha! So now we're back where we started from. Ah, but there's a difference. Reb Eliezer has an explanation for why the Torah used that extra vav. And he says, you're absolutely right. Intelligent beings, such as myself, do not need that vav to tell me that the inside space of another inside space is a different inside space. Nonsense. Of course I know that. So why is there a vav? Aha, I will tell you. The question over here is, what if you put on a spacesuit? That's the question. So now, if you're wearing a spacesuit and you're inside of the space of the kli, does the spacesuit interfere? Now, if the idea over here is literally the airspace, and it's air that's important, so you need to be subject to the equivalent of these molecules that are hitting you, or maybe some type of ray from the tuma that is getting you. So now if you wear something that protects you from those rays, so then you should be fine, right? Ha! That's what the pasuk is coming to tell me. A spacesuit will not protect you, because this is an incredible concept. Space, period. Nothing to do with the transference of energy through space. It's nothing like that. It's a din in the pure spatial coordinates. And I need the Tocho to tell me that. Only the spatial coordinates are important. Nothing else. So if you wear a spacesuit, or, of course, they don't make spacesuits for tomatoes, and we're only talking about tomatoes over here, remember, Eichlin Umashkin. So the equivalent of a spacesuit for a tomato is to take a big hunk of dirt, put it around the tomato, and let it now harden around the tomato. Now the tomato is inside the space of the Kli Cheres. Will the tomato be protected by the dangerous rays of Tuma? No, because it's Tocho. That's what the Vav is coming to tell me, and I mean Tocho. And therefore it's coming to tell me, Lo'ochlin shegiblan betit, you protected them by putting them with cement around them. I don't know what you did. And you put them into the space of that tanur, you have to know that that is still going to be tummy. And why would I think not? I would think not, because look, I mean, I would have thought that being as something is protected from Tumas Maga, there's no way for me to come into contact with that tomato. And the only thing that we've seen in general about Tuma up until this time is some type of actual contact or ray device, you know. So I would think that having a cement spacesuit on a tomato would be sufficient to protect it. So hol benegia lo metame, it cannot be metame through the airspace. Therefore, it comes to tell us it has nothing to do with air, and it has nothing to do with rays, and it has nothing to do with any type of contact. It's a purely spatial description. So therefore, since according to Reb Eliezer, I don't have Tocho to tell me that the Torah has redefined the space as being not relevant, so now I can make the kal vachomer of the more chomer idea from Tumas Meis, right? And what does the Tanakhama have against that reasoning? The Tanakhama says, bull. Where do you get that from? I don't understand. First, you made up your mind because you've got an idea that Tuma consists of some kind of zap, or consists of some kind of air contact or molecules. Where do you get that from? The Torah's been talking about space, and you insist on inserting your preconceived notion of ray beams and whatever. How about dropping all of that ether stuff and start talking about the nature of space itself? How about that? So if you would have had an open mind, you wouldn't have needed a pasuk to tell you that. Well, we have open minds, Reb Eliezer, and therefore we're using this pasuk to insist that you are wrong. That's the whole point. So therefore, say the Rabbanan, I don't understand why we need a pasuk to tell me something that you created the problem in the first place. Why don't you just use the same mind that made the problem to take away the problem without the pasuk? Thank you. Now, we have another interesting contradiction that's based on the same issues of space. I love the way the Gemara does this. It's so sneaky. So now, I'm going to, without even your noticing, I'm going to create now a different level of understanding of the natures of Lishma without my even having to tell you. We already learned in our Mishnah that there's this idea of Shelo Lishma. But the idea of Shelo Lishma in our Mishnah was a Shelo Lishma in terms of the type of Kedusha, correct? Now, we learned yesterday that there were six issues, and the first two issues that you needed to have in mind, and that's just the general concept of awareness, that's the broader idea of Lishma. So we had six things. The first two were L'shem Zevach and L'shem Zoveach. Now, L'shem Zoveach, we're going to see, is actually a fundamental Lishma, and it is ma'akev. It's not like the other things that it would be nice for you to keep this in mind and that in mind and so on, which are not ma'akev. And actually, a change in the level of ownership and who the owner is going to affect the carbon in the same way that a change in the name of the carbon will affect and will make it lo olu l'baalim l'shem chova. Okay. I think I would also want maybe just to hint to you at this point that the idea of lo alu l'baalim l'shem chova, do you understand that that is devastating when it comes to a korban chatas? Devastating. Because what that means is that it's not a chatas. Now you can start to understand why the dinim of a chatas shelo lishma is totally different from an oila shelo lishma. There is no such thing as a chatas that's not coming for your chait. Well, the same thing is true of the Korban Pesach. The Korban Pesach affects your particular identity and your placement within Klal Yisrael. To say that this is a kosher Korban Pesach, but it just doesn't belong to you, and it's not for you, doesn't make any sense. So the idea of the psul of Shelo Lishma, when it comes to the Chatas and the Pesach, is fundamentally different than the other Shelo Lishmas. Now, the same thing would be true in terms of the ownership, you see? These are all like fundamental concepts that start to solidify as you go further and further into the underlying details of the issue. And that leads to another contradiction. This one wasn't raised by Rava. It was raised by Rav Yosef Barami. And he wants to point out a contradiction between the dinim of Shinoi Kodesh and Shinoi Baalim, and he actually gave an answer. So he said, getting back to the same issue we've been discussing, Rav's point about sets. And he says that another issue that he made was that a chatas that was shechted for a chatas is kosher, but for an oila is posel. Ha! Now that is fascinating. So let's say that you bring a chatas for the purposes of kapora on achilas dam, and you bring another chatas for the purposes of being bechaper on achilas chelev, right? So you've got two separate chiyuv koreses. How about if you flip the chatas? You say this chatas is for the dam when it was really for the chelev, and this chatas, which was really for the dam, is for the chelev. Suppose you flip that. Well, Rav also said that the concept of sets occur within the dinim of the korbanos themselves, because all chataot are members of the set of chataot. Masha enken chatas versus ola is a completely different set. If you're trying to raise a question, Mr. Elisha, then your electronic hand would be much more indicative of a question instead of simply wondering, because people have a tendency to stick their hands out to themselves. And therefore, it becomes immediately clear. Now you don't have to, because now we know. But this way, it becomes immediately clear, whereas otherwise, we're sitting and thinking, Ellie's really thinking deeply here. And in reality, he's trying to draw attention. Speak, Sir Elisha. Ah, you were not trying to draw attention. A perfect indication of exactly what it was I was trying to say. You see, Handy? Okay. Not for naught did Zoom put you right there next to Alicia. All right. The minute I said it, bye-bye. Incredible. Absolutely refuses to be pinned down. How about if I would just say Z and not Zoom? Would you know? Okay. But if you shekht at a chat as a shame oila, so then it would be puzzle, right? Now, what do you see from there? Again, something that is of a different set. Here we see, if it's a different set, then it does create interference. And if it's the same set, it doesn't create interference. Boy, now I'm really confused. I mean, but that's what this seems to indicate. Now, remember, however, we're talking really that even though we said before that the Eila is actually, the difference was between Eila and Chulin. And there, the Eila was considered to be the same set. Here, we're talking about the Eila being a different set that's in the context within the Karbanas. So this is what Rav seems to be saying. But the problem is that this contradicts the other statement of Rav about sets, where Rav says that a chatas, that you shechted on somebody who was mechuyav a chatas, that would be puzzle, because that would be a shinui shem ba'alim. But if you shechted a chatas for someone who isn't even chayav a chatas, he was only chayav an oila, then it would be kosher. So you see from there that only something that is of the same set can be interfere, sets up this pattern of interference. The lav mina, if it's something that's not included in the same sense of the other one, so it's not going to set up an interference. And Rav Yossi Bar Ami said, there's a big difference. The difference lies in what the source is of the psul. So, benogeya the din of shinui hashem, it says, v'shachat ota lechatat. That's the only idea. Shecht achatas for achatas. Okay. I shechted achatas dam for achatas chelev. Did I shecht it for achatas? Yes. Okay. That's all that it said. Shecht achatas for achatas. I did. But benogeya the halacha of an individual that the achatas is coming to be mechaper on, over there, it says beferish ve'et kol chelbo yaktira mizbecha kechelev zevach eshelamim, and note these words v'chiper alav hakohen mechatato v'nislachlo. Over there it says v'chiper alav mechatato. Now that means it has to be alav and his chet and not chavero. But remember, whenever we use a word to exclude something, it has to exclude something of the same set. That's only reasonable. The Torah is not going to tell you his chatas and not his friends, again, red Tesla. I mean, that's an absurd statement. So by definition, whenever you're saying X, but not that which is not X, we mean not that which is the same as X, but isn't X, right? That's what this means as well. That's called chavero dumia dide. The last words, dumia dide, are always the words that are used in these kind of situations where it's X, but not Y. So the klal is Y dumia de X. In this case, it's chavero, because that's the word that we used in the klal, that has to be similar to him, meaning it's only a problem if that chaver is also chayev the same kapora, so then you can say, I changed the owner. But if this guy wasn't even chayev in that kapora, I never changed the owner. Because, I mean, again, I might as well say, but not the guy who owns the grocery store. On the moment, it's irrelevant, right? Now, here is where it gets really cute. So now Rav Chaviva says, well, how about if we're talking about sets, and we're talking about physical sets and conceptual sets, how about if I bring you a contradiction between a conceptual set and a physical set. Watch this. So watch me pull a set out of my hat. Let me show you that there's a contradiction between the idea of Shinui Ba'alim that I just sneakily raised, and that is a contradiction to the Toch Tocho set of building walls inside of come on, anybody listening to this who has not been skilled in using a brain, oh, what the heck are these people doing? It's incredible. So I'm going to point out to you a problem between what you hold about Shinui Ba'alim and what you hold about building walls inside ovens. I love it. Okay, so here's the contradiction. So I'm going to point out to you that on the one hand, and I'm going to answer it. On the one hand, did Rav say that if you shecht a chatas for someone who is mechuyev a chatas, then it's a problem? But if you shecht a chatas for someone who is mechuyev an oila, then it's kosher, which implies that only something of the same sense set is relevant to setting up an interference with that set. But if it's not, the lav mina lo machrivah. But doesn't it say in the braita that we started with that tocho means only its inside space, but not a space inside that space, even if that inner space is made out of metal? Ha-ha! Now, metal is a kli shetef, which is a different secondary space in Kalim, but a Chi of an Ola and a Chi of Chatas is a different secondary space in Kachim. And therefore, you see that on the one hand, we're saying a secondary space cannot interfere, place, I shouldn't say space, set, cannot interfere, and on the one hand with Kachim. And now we're talking about putting a metal container that sticks up out of the top of the earthenware container. And it says beferish that it is matzil. How do you explain that? And now we get to the more complex issue of that pusik of tocho that I promised you were going to get to. And here is the full, well, I shouldn't say the full, but more of the range of the tochos. So, umeshani, here is my answer. What you have to note is that there are actually four different diyukim in this pasuk that is talking about, let's remember the pasuk again. Veko kli cheres asher yipol mehem el tocho. Okay. The kli cheres had a sheretz fall into its toch. Kol asher betocho. Now this refers to things inside its toch, right? The first toch referred to something falling from the outside into its toch. The second toch refers to the impact of that fall on things inside its toch. The pasuk repeats the word tocho twice, one in the first context, one in the second context. In each case, it mentions a pronoun together with the concept of the space, stressing its space, which did not need to be stressed because, I mean, obviously, if it fell into the toch of the kricheres, then it's tocho. I mean, where would it get a different space inside of itself? Which means that each one of these psukim is stressing two dinim, toch and tocho, which gives us four different halachas that we need to apply based on the word toch in this very information-dense pasuk, right? So that means arba'a tocho k'tive, there's four diyukim here. Tocho, toch and tocho, toch and tocho, twice, two times four, two times two equals four. Okay, so let's go through how we use them. One of these is needed for the main point. Toch, okay, that tells us the main point. Then that is that the inside of a kli cheres actually is tame, and that would mean that the radiation, or the space, really is the idea from the kli, will be matame things that are in it. That's a very important idea. One comes to tell me a gezera shava. Now, this gezera shava is a bit complex, and the main part, place of the gezera shava, is in the Gemara Chulin, but we need to learn that where you have a string that is holding that sheretz, like the case that we had of the kaveret, and it never actually touches, we need to learn that it's able to be metame from inside the airspace without negia. And that's because I might have thought that tocho means only if it was nogea to the inside. How do I know that even if it's only in the airspace, now we're talking about the thing which is metame, not the thing which is mekabel tuma, the thing which is metame. Now we know that the thing that is mekabel tuma, we just proved, does not need to come into contact. That was the spacesuit and the tomato, right? And we knew that from the other toho. But how do we know that the sheretz that is metame the kli without coming into contact with the kli, which is a different idea, because the sheretz is not what is metame in the airspace where the tomato is. It's the kli that's metame the airspace where the tomato is. So how do we know that if the sheretz was actually in a rocket ship and it never made contact, it just was in that space, how do we know that the kli is tame? Maybe the only difference between kli shetef and kli cheres is that the kli shetef is mekabel tuma from its outside surface, and the kli cheres is metame mekabel tuma from its inside surface. But where did you get the idea that it could be mekabel tuma from its space? Ah, that's a gzeres shava. In the same way that toch at the end with the air, with the tomato in the spacesuit is a din in space, the same word tocho at the beginning of the pasuk means that the sheretz that's coming into the airspace. Remember, the first tocho is referring to the rocket ship landing, and the second tocho is referring to the tomato that walks out in a spacesuit. And this is a gzeres shava of the two cases. I love it. Okay. It's such a beautiful drasha, guys. It's pure poetry. So therefore, the two tochos have to be the same. So if one of them is a tocho which requires no contact, the first one, as the ship is landing, requires no contact either. So much for Carl Sagan. Ha! So contact is actually not necessary. That's the idea. So that's the needing one of them for that gzeres shava. One of them comes to tell me that only a tocho, that is to say, only a toch of a kli that is made out of cheres, which is what we're talking about in the pasuk, the ko kli cheres asher yipol tocho, only a kli cheres's toch creates a space that is capable of receiving or radiating tuma. No other kli would be able to do that. And therefore, if it's made out of kli shetef, even though kli shetef is more chomer in terms of being mekabel tuma through maga, it has nothing in it, in its set, of spatial tuma. And the other is tocho, the lo toch tocho, to add that even something from another set, afilu kli shetef, even metallic kalim, do create space in terms of being in a different space than the kli cheres, even though they don't have their own space to be metame. You understand the subtleties? Incredible. So all of this is from the interrelationships of our tocho toch and our tocho toch.